just add a point of the, when you read the book of Acts, there is a sense of freshness, especially when you go to chapter 2 and verse 42. Here is something that is really fresh and new. A verse before that, 3,000 souls got saved. Across the street, there is a temple with all of its ceremonial, everything according to the God-given law, and they added to it many, many times just to make sure that they are doing it right. Lifeless. And here is few. 3,000 are not few, but here is those who have separated from man's system completely with the instruction from the Word of God to how to do it. And we have heard it many times. It didn't tell us exactly what, you know, what the format was. But the Spirit of God was emphasized in there, as we see in the beginning of chapter 2, to kind of be the leader for these people who have separated, no ceremonial laws anymore, but simplicity in gathering there. If we saw in 1 Corinthians 11, the matter of correction, what we see here is the matter of stability. How are you going to keep this company stable all the time? In spite of, oh, there is no written laws and regulation now, like what you have to do it when you go into the temple. What do you have? The apostle doctrine, the word of God was not completed then. You have the teaching of the apostle. I look at Luke's writing. It's just, again, very impressive. I love when doctors like histories, because they actually have this ability to observe. Of course, it's the Spirit of God, really, that indicts that. But just the ability to be accurate in everything. He's writing to Theophilus to assure him of what have taken place, and to give Theophilus the stability so he will continue on in that pathway. What is the stability? These four things that we have speaking about. And it seemed in my mind that one of them, they are all equal. They lead to one another. If I take the liberty to make the application, and it's application in Luke 24. In Luke 24, you have two who have completely turned away, going back again, very discouraging. They need some practical help. The Lord comes in the midst. That's really the whole thing we have to think. He has to come in the midst. And what does he start with? He expounds to them the scripture. Here is the teaching, really, of the apostle. There is the teaching of the Lord. He's expounding the scripture. It's exactly the same thing. What the apostle have done is they took the Old Testament and expound on it, beside also the revelation that was given concerning the truth of the New Testament. He explained to them what that led to. They constrained him. We want to have fellowship with you. Come inside. Come with us. That's led to the fellowship. The right doctrine would lead to the right fellowship. And what they did after that, and again, I'm making an application. Luke 24 is not the breaking of the bread at all. I'm just making an application. What that led to? He broke the bread. What that led to? Our heart are burning within us. What is the impact practically? He didn't tell them, now you got to turn around, go back to Jerusalem because there is a prayer meeting going on in there. Didn't say any of that. They automatically know what to do. They automatically know what to do. If the Lord comes in the center and the teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit is there, there is nothing else to do but fellowship. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to the temple? Where are you going to go? Where do you go? I ask that question. Where are you going to go? Where else? Where else do you want to go? In spite of their weakness, their nothingness, they were there because the Lord was there. Fellowship was sweet. The breaking of the bread took place. As a result of that, there was a burning in their heart. And there was a complete recovery and turning around. Just as a great example of that brings a stability to the company of believers by following what we have before us in Acts 2:42.
It's well to note that the book of Acts is a book of transition. So there is the transition from Judaism into what we now have in Christ. So there was, even then, there was a temple. And verse 46 indicates that they were going to the temple. But I understand your point, Emil. Nowadays, they call every synagogue a temple. There's no more temple. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and there has been no new temple built. So if, even if you call a synagogue a temple, there's really no new temple. But then there was this transition, and it took them a while. You know, they continued to celebrate the feasts of Jehovah. We find that even in the life of Paul, even though converted, he made vows and such. There was a transition. So it's, we need to be careful when we look at the book of Acts. Not every thing in it is for us, but it does show us the historical development and the, we'd say, setting aside of those rudimentary elements that were just given to us as hints and shadows of what we have in Christ. We noted also that in verse 46, they broke bread from house to house. And I believe this was done daily. I don't believe, as we find later, we'll point that out in Acts 20, it was relegated to really the first day, the resurrection day. But they did it probably every day. And it reminds me of the point made to the through the Apostle Paul, as often as ye do this. You know, it isn't something that we would regulate to, you know, three times a year, Christmas, Passover, Palm Sunday, and Easter. Many Christians regulate this to those 3 days or once a month, but as often. And I believe that this was shown in the freshness of it. House to house would bring about what we read the Lord saying to the Samaritan woman. You say, you know, we worship in Jerusalem, but we say in this other mountain, and the Lord says, neither here nor there, but those, the Father is seeking worshipers to worship in spirit and truth. It was not going to be worship connected with a physical building. That was over. That's with Judaism. But house to house. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, we would all have to get up and move and live in Israel to fulfill these scriptures. But house to house. And practically speaking, they didn't have anywhere else to meet other than the temple and house to house. And then finally, just one other comment. And I see someone want to make another comment after this. There was the eating of meat. And this is not the breaking of bread. So what is this? This is part of that fellowship we're talking about. The practical fellowship. Fellowship meals, we call them. You know, this is something they practiced in the first century. They had love feasts. Love feasts are not the breaking of bread, beloved. They were occasions to have a meal together and enjoy fellowship with one another, simply for that. And they did that. They ate their meat. I don't know if that included the pork, but they did eat the meat in gladness. They had this wonderful liberty. Everything in common. There wasn't any rivalry. There wasn't any malicious gossip. It was wonderful. And the Spirit of God was presiding over it all. So we praise his name.